The following recording has a number of different options available to you. The first is the recording of the current Tough Yomi 13th cycle, and it's done rather rapidly, without great detail. That's followed by a very fast review that enables you to go over the daf in about 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by a recording of the Tough Yomi from the previous cycle, done at greater length, more detail, and also with a different ambience, a different audience. You can use one for your original learning and one for your review, but whatever you do, enjoy. Today's daf of Masechet Eruvin, brought to you Mibein Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Kuf Beit. Wow. And we are holding at the Halakha Mishnah on daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beit. So what we're going to do now, what happened was that in an extension of our discussion of the differences between various Rishuyot that are similar, where the Rabbanan Asered or where the Rabbanan were Matir, we went on to discuss something that was truly an aside, which is once we have these various Rishuyot set up, what is Mutter and what is Asur in opening and closing the door between one and the other. So the opening and closing the door was initially completely connected to the Sugya, because it was a question of inserting a key from one Rishu to another. And therefore it did require discussion within the context of Erevin. But now we move on to something which is truly an aside in Erevin terms, namely, where you do not use a key, but where you use a bolt that's inserted through the bottom of the door into a hole underneath the door in order to hold the door closed. Now, there we don't talk about the problem of Rishiyot. It's not talking about different Rishiyot here. Here we're talking about the question of either Muktzah or Binyan, Mirtzei Kebinyan, because there's certain times where you insert a bolt and it is similar to building. Now, the first yesod is a continuation of the idea that we had of a delet that looks like a binyan. We already started on that. We have a board, we had the delet almana, or a delet that was nigreret instead of hanging and being above the ground somewhat. The same issue appears, it's not precisely the same, but the same considerations appear with the neger. You'll remember the neger, but no, that is not a racist word. You'll remember the neger from back in Masechet Shabbat, and it basically means a bolt that's inserted vertically. So the issue over there is it will at least appear like binyan. There's even cases where it is binyan. Now, suppose you would take a bolt from somewhere in your toolbox. You would go over to your door with a hammer, you'd bang the bolt into the ground. That would be total binyan. It would be a key of chattas to do on Shabbos. What we're talking about over here is where the hole is permanent. You're inserting a bolt that is already used for that purpose. The problem is that it is not attached to the door in such a way that makes it obvious that you're lowering or raising the way a standard bolt is with that little click that we use on the side. You know, you never take it off of the door to put in. You'd only do that if it broke. Here we're talking about a neger that has to be put in anew, so to speak, every time. So if it has berosho gluster, it's got a knob on top of the bolt, which makes it clear it's not a bolt out of your toolbox. It's the kind of bolt that's used for keeping a door shut. Otherwise, what's the bulbous extension doing on the top? So there, Rebbe Eliezer says, even so, it's usur, because, as we'll see, we're talking about over here that it is not attached permanently to the door, at least with a string or a chain of some kind, and therefore he holds to pick it up from somewhere else, or even to pick it up, actually the case will be that it's attached with a string, not with a rope. And therefore, if you'd move it from the door, you'd simply break it off. So therefore, it's not considered to be mechuber to the door, where people will say, oh, this is obviously part of the door. It's a permanent attachment. It's not a fixture of the door. It's not fixed to the door. Therefore, it's usur. Rabbi Yossi says, look, the fact that it's got a knob makes it clear that it's a kli that has been yuchud for this purpose. What happened to the advanced warning of your arrival with the rolling that we can hear from three blocks away today? Oh my gosh, where's the luggage?
It's a
luggage. Yeah. And now we won't even know that you're coming. Usually when we heard you from three blocks away, we started putting away all the things we had out here, you know, the drinks. And Omar Rebbe Eliezer, look, it's clear that I am right, because there was even a meisen in the Beit HaKnesset in Tveria, and they used to use a neger like that for years. And one time, Rebbe Gamliel and the Zakenim came into that shul, and they said, what's wrong with you guys? It's usur to do this. Rebbe Yossi says, yeah, except you've got it a little backwards. For years, they didn't use the neger, and they would leave the door unbolted until Rebbe Gamliel and the Zakenim came and said, what are you being mocked on this for? This is a mistake in halacha. You're allowed to use a neger with a knob on top. Now, let's clarify the case. Where you've got a heavy connecting rope, and it can be, if you would carry it with that rope, It wouldn't break. The rope is a thick rope, and it's a permanent fixture. Nobody would say that's usur. If it's attached to the door, so then of course it's a fixture of the door. Why does it have to be attached with bolts on the side to put it up and down? So this is a cheapo kind of way to close the door. But it's obvious to everyone that it's part of the way that the lock was made. Ki pligi, the machlokas is where it might be connected to the door, but not as a permanent fixture. It's hanging on some kind of thin string, which if you moved it with it, would tear. And therefore, it's not nita the igudon. We're over there, Mar Sarvah, given the Yesh Barosh of Lustra. You know, machlokas is that according to Rabbi Yossi, the very fact that there's a knob is sufficient to give it a din of a kli, Torat kliyala. Mar Sarvah, look, if it's not a fixture of the door, it looks like binyan, and because of that, we don't give it a din of a kli. Ain't on to be good alone. Continues the Mishnah. How about a neger that's nigra? You know, we've discussed this case where it's attached to the door, but it's not hanging on the door. So that every time you move it, you drag it along on the ground. So it does not clearly appear to be a fixture of the door. Where something is hanging up on the door and you see it, okay, obviously it's for the door. But where it's been dragged along the ground, there already we've got a problem. So if you're in the Beit HaMikdash, we're over there. Since we're not Geyser, Shvut B'Mikdash, and there's no true case of Binyan over here, because it has been attached to the door, it's just that we're saying that since it's dragged along the ground, it looks a little bit like binyan. That's a shvus. The Rabbanan were not gozer shvus of the Mikdash. Therefore, in the Mikdash, you could seal the doors this way. But not outside of the Mikdash. Avaloba medina. But if it's munach, if it's actually in the corner, as I mean connected to the door, that is considered to be true binyan. That's Rashi's approach. And therefore, it would be usur even in the Beit HaMikdash. Now, Tosfos Tainas, it is absurd to say that it is shayach to call something binyan on a kli that is meant to be continually used in this fashion. How could that be binyan? I mean, there's nothing in the Torah about having something attached to the door to make it non-binyan. The thing that makes it non-binyan is that this is a device, and it's not a binyan. The binyan is complete. The door is meant to work this way. It's got a hole in it that's attached to a hole in the ground, and you're meant to put this piece in it. How the heck could that be binyan? The worst you could say, it's mitzvah, it could be. Therefore, Tosfos argues and creates a new halacha, which is that the din of Ein Shvut B'Mikdash is not an absolute, and we've actually seen this many times, and that a Shvut Gadol, meaning a Shvut which can really lead you to Diorita. So if you would take this and you would bang it with a hammer, let's say, you'd be over this and Diorita. So Shvut Gadol, it's very easy to confuse the two cases. They were Gozer Afilu B'Mikdash. That's the point. And when Rabbi Yehuda says, Hamunach Mutar, even in the Mikdash, and Hanigrar is Mutar even B'Medina, according to Rashi, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that if it's Munach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's still not called Binyan. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda was holding of Tosfos as far, so to speak, according to Rashi, and therefore it's still only a Shvus, and he's not Gezer. Or according to Tosfos, Rabbi Yehuda, it's even a Shvus Gadol. We're not Gozer in the Mikdash, and that's the Machlokes. The Brayta clarifies. What is the case where you can use a neger only in the Mikdash? Look, it's still got to be attached to the door. The only thing is that it drags along the ground, which we always saw was the definition of the word nigra. So it drags along the ground. Rabbi Yudomer, nonsense. That case is mutter anywhere. Even the Medina, not in the Mikdash. Elaizeo neger shenaling the Mikdash. Avalo the Medina. According to me, the only thing you got to worry about in the Medina is where the neger is not even attached. It's lo kashur, the lo talui. What you do is you take it out of the door when you come to open the door, and you put it down in the corner. When you're finished, you want to relock the door, take it out of the corner, and you put it back in. Nonetheless, that's not binyan. And therefore, there's no gezerah in the Mikdash. But since it's similar to binyan, we were gozer in the Medina. That's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. On Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel, halachak Rabbi Yehuda, minigra. That is basically how we paskin. You can be noel afilo outside of the Beit HaMikdash, as long as it's attached to the door, even if it's dragging on the door. But you cannot do such a thing in the Medina. Sorry. You cannot do such a thing where it's not nigra, sorry, in the Medina. Omar Rava, let's clarify one thing. V'husha kashur bedelet. All the cases that we're talking about, that it needs kshira, whether it is nigra or not nigra, that's only if it's attached to the door. but not if it's attached to an area around the door. In other words, if this is hanging on the wall of the house or on the mezuzah, that's not enough to make it a permanent fixture of the door. Really? Says the Gemara. Any? For Rabbi Tavla, itlo l'mechuzah. Rabbi Tavla came to mechuzah and he saw exactly this case. And he saw exactly this case. He saw a case where something was on the mezuzah, on the side of the door. And he didn't say that you're not allowed to use it. Wait, you don't understand. We meant if it's hanging on a string. Of course, if it's a permanent fixture, so it's hanging on a ritzuah or on a metal chain, and it's nitel be'igudai, you can lift it and move it around no matter what its weight, because it's a very heavy attachment. That's a permanent fixture. There, the bolt doesn't have to be on the door itself. What he was saying is that if it's just weakly attached, so somebody who sees this thing hanging on a string, not on a permanent rope, he doesn't necessarily think in his mind, oh, that must be the permanent fixture of the door. It's not even permanent. It's something somebody hung up on the wall. Therefore, it's not enough. But if it's nitel be'igudai, that is mutter, even benigreret, according to Rav Yehuda, and that is mutter, even if it's not on the door.
You say in the Mishnah that toes clear, though. Is that what makes it part of the door?
You mean, we're talking about the Madiyom Ro'asus here. You're saying if you hold its mutter? Yesh biyodog lustra? That's talking about the string. You don't need a ritzua. And since it's obviously meant, according to him, for this purpose, you don't need anything else. Because what else is that knob there for, do you think? So it's clearly a kli, and there's no way that anybody could confuse it with binyan.
But it's a kli by itself, or is it a kli that's part of the door?
What's important is not that it's part of the door, but that it's a way to use the door.
It's shy to the door.
Yeah, and therefore, he's not mechayev of you to have necessarily a big thick ritzu and a permanent fixture. Now, once Rav Avia came to Narda, and Chazi, he saw somebody using a neger that was connected with a piece of just a reed, which obviously is just going to break as soon as you try to pick it up with that. So he said to them, Rav Avia, you better not use this for that door. Dame lo nitro. Don't use this device for closing your door. Boy, Rabbi Zer, how about in a case where the neger, in the cases of heter, was nikmaz? Nikmaz means that instead of the threshold having a little hole in it for the neger to go into, the threshold has a hole through it, and it goes into the ground. So there's a board on the door, but the neger goes straight through that into the ground. Now, when something goes into the ground, it's much more similar to binyan than when it's part of a house where this is the way that you're meant to close the door. I don't understand this question.
And is it like a bolt that's going down?
You weren't here at the beginning. That's what a neger is.
Yeah, no, I understand. But instead of it looping into, instead of it hooking on to
something, it doesn't hook. It goes down.
No, that's what I'm saying. It is. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you see that very often.
Yes,
right?
Yes. I'm just trying to...
It's a very standard. You're in the roof on the side of the tree. It's a big, big, heavy bolt.
Yes, yes, yes.
Pull it off, slam it down. Usually, there's a device that surrounds it in the hole. But here, it goes directly into the ground, right through the piece of rock or whatever is there on the threshold.
You're closing the door. You're on the inside and you're closing?
Wherever it is.
Doesn't matter.
But you're slamming this thing to keep the door shut into the ground. Says Rav Yosef, I don't understand. This is a famous psalm. You're telling me that you never heard the Brayta or Shemliya or the Tanya, that in a case where something is nishmat, it's asur. If it's taken out completely and the chevel fell off, that used to be on it, now it's in the corner, you're not allowed to use it. But if it's okay to use it, the only problem is it goes straight through into the ground, that's not a problem. And that's mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says, nikmaz is always awesome. Ava b'sheino nishma, because it looks like binyan. And Amr of Yehuda Mishma lach Rabbi Yehuda bin nikmaz, that is something that is too similar to binyan. And but the reason being, time of my Amr Abayi Mishum de Michse Kibone, it looks like you are building. How about, instead of a knob, okay, you actually put a handle on it, right in the middle, so it's clear that this thing is meant to be held by a person conveniently and inserted into the ground. How about there? Amar Lahu. Ah, come on, you're talking about a buchna. A buchna is the type of kli that you use. It's the same shape as something that you would use for... Where's the big
L? It's like an L, right?
Okay, I mean, Rashi learns that the Beit Yad is not on top. The Beit Yad is in the middle of it. But I mean, that it's probably also okay. So that's a kli. That's a total kli. Who in the world would not see that has not been binyan. Itmamar Nachumi Barada, Pasala Bet Yad, Mutar. Now there was a sharita. A sharita is a very heavy roof beam. Roof beam that they used to use in Rav Pedat's houses that needed to be carried by 10 people in order to move it. That's how heavy it was. And they would use it to bolt the main gate of his chutzner against the muggers.
Nice house.
Oh, yeah.
And big muggers.
Oh. So, Avimadil Be'asora, so 10 people would carry it and put it into the door as the bolt. The Shadalei Adasha. And he never said, I know how to do that. That's not a kli. He said, that is a kli. Now Rashi learns it's a Torah kli because they would use it to sit on. Tosfos says, I mean, the whole point of the Gemara is we're talking about whether it's a kli because it's used for the door. Not, okay. But, I mean, Lamaisa, Rashi obviously relates this to the Buchna Ka'amret. In other words, this is the same shape as a kli that's used for something else. And therefore, what's the problem? So he sees this as something else. This is basically the bench. This is the bench used in the Beis HaMikdash when you're coming to visit Rabbi Pedat. Now, there was another Maisa where there was a Asita, which is the opposite of the Buchna. So the Buchna is the mortar. And there was an Asita in Mar Shmuel's house that was enormous. And it held an Adriba, which is 15 saw. So it weighed a ton. And Mar Shmuel was matir them to push this thing up against the door at night to prevent it from being open. Because he said, look, what's the difference? It's a Torah Kli Aleha. How does this relate to Binyan at all? It's definitely a Kli. Here we have both sides, the Buchna and the Asita. Shalach Le'Rami Bar Yecheskel Ravama. You know, you used to say over such wonderful and clear-cut Piskei Halachas about problems, this is for Richie, problems on sailboats. What can you do to cover your sailboat from the rain and on Shabbos? Well, maybe I'm stretching it a little bit, not necessarily sailboats, but boats that are carrying loads that need to be protected for the rain, not the rain. Now, you can't have a permanent roof on the boat. So what they used to do is they would have a device, which was like a pole, that would bend over. They would stick it in a hole on one side and would bend over and could be inserted in a hole on the other side. Then they would cover that with canvas in the event of rain. Now here the shaila was, if I put up the poles before Shabbos, can I put the canvas over if it starts raining? Can I spread the canvas over the poles or do I have to have it there the whole time?
With rain or not?
Yeah, because I don't know, maybe it'll rain on Shabbos and I'm not allowed to make an oil on Shabbos and I won't be able to put over the canvas. So maybe if I want to be certain that I'm protecting my sfora, I'll have to keep it on Shabbos. So he paskin a number of different things and he sent him a message, could you repeat those halachas that you told us? Name alone, at least some of those really nice things you said. Mehali Mili Malayata, the Amarta Lamishmeda Ravasi used to quote Ravasi about Kipi di Arba. Kipi di Arba, Arba is a boat, and Kipi is the basically vaulted ceiling. Which is what this was. Shalach Leisri said, "Work." The main thing to remember is that Alchem Ravas, Ani Kipa the Arba, there's two ways that they do this thing. Sometimes they don't use poles, and instead they use boards that are bent, that are, maybe they're plastics, it's easy to bend them, that are a tefach wide. Once they're a tefach wide, you already have an oil, because an oil, a tefach, is an oil. To add to an oil that's already existing, where it's an oil arai, because you don't want to keep it there, is completely mutter. So once it's got a tefach, that's not a problem. For that matter, even if they use poles, then the issue is how close together are the poles? If the poles are so close together that you have lovut between them, so then for all intents and purposes, you've got a full area that is covered with an awl already. So what's the difference if you cover over the rest of it by adding a canvas? For all intents and purposes, it already is covered. And therefore, you're being mosif on an awl array, which is completely mutter. So inami ein bam tefach. If you don't have the plastic that's bent over, and you just have these thin poles, but you still, they're close enough together, that ein bam zelazesh losha, it's not a problem. Tomorrow, take out your canvas, bring out the machatzelet, and spread it over the poles. Why? My time, huh? Mosif al ol arayu. Because all that you're doing is adding to a pre-existing oil in an impermanent fashion. And as we saw back in Shabbat, there's no issur being mosif on an ol aray. The shaper dummy. The same problem occurred not on a boat, but in an animal pen in Rav Huna's farm. Rav Huna had these rams that were very sensitive to heat. So in the daytime, he needed to protect them from the sun. But at the nighttime, he needed to allow a lot of air into the enclosure. So he didn't know what could he do on Shabbos about this. I mean, he couldn't put out an oil on Shabbos. So he went to ask a shayla by Rav. So Hana Dichri David the Ravuna, there were these rams at Ravuna's farm, the Yamama Boatula. They needed shade in the day and they needed air at night. Sounds familiar. So he came to Rav to ask what to do. Said Rav, look, all you got to do is zil kroch budya v'shir batefa. If before Shabbat you've got the canvas, one tefach sticking out, okay? Then all you need to do is to pull out the rest of it on Shabbos. You don't have to worry whether you've got a tefach or three tefachim, because the original tefach of the canvas is already an oil aroy that's partially made. Now all you're doing is adding to it. So basically what you're doing is you're pulling the window shade, so to speak, except it's a horizontal window shade, which is great. So basically he had this on his pergola over the Elim, had it spread out a little bit, and then he would just pull it and the rest of it would come out, and then it was mosif on an oil that was pre-existing. And it was aroy because it was meant to be unrolled, rolled back up again in the nighttime. And therefore, it's not a problem.
Does it have to be one material that you roll?
No, no, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that it's a tefach. So l'machar pashta, and then it'll be mosif al ol aroy v'shaper dami. This my father-in-law Zatzal used to do this all the time with his sukkah, exactly that. So it would be mosif for an ol aroy for Shabbos it started to rain or something. You just pull it out. Leave it on the tefach on the side, and then just unroll it.
Partially open.
Yeah, partially open with the tefach open, which is not a problem because that part anyway is considered to be usable. You know, as long as it's not more than 4 o'clock, it's fine.
This was a well-known halacha.
What?
This was a well-known halacha. How come we didn't know this? Why do you have to ask?
Okay, this is why it's a well-known halacha.
Because he asked.
Hey, this was slightly before my shver. This master didn't come to ask. Omar Rav, Yishom Rebichia, Vilon, Mutalana, Totom, Mutala, Forkobe Shabbat. If you have a curtain, and this curtain is hanging vertically, and it's only there for Tzniyut, and why do I say that? We have a major Machlokas, Rashi and Tazza, we've discussed many times, about the din of Mefitza. According to Rashi, the Isser of creating an Olam on Shabbos is only if it is horizontal, but vertical, a curtain, is Bechlamat considered to be creating an oil. A Mefitza is not an oil, according to Rashi. Tosis brings many proofs that that's not the case. But the thing that made Rashi make this distinction, Tosis says the distinction is not vertical or horizontal. The distinction is whether it's a mechitza hamateret. We've seen this many times. If it's a mechitza that has halakhic implications on Shabbos, then it's also even if it's vertical, not only if it's above, he uses a tefach. That's Tosis as you saw it. So whatever we're talking about over here, according to Rashi, I don't care what this vilon is. It's basically hanging vertically. What are you doing? Oh, that's usher. Something that hangs vertically is not an oil. It's an oil with something over your head. How could that be an oil? According to Tosfos, since it's not been used to be materet, it's not usher. Therefore, you can put it out, you can take it down, not a problem. Kilat Chatanim. Now remember, we had the story of Kilat Chatanim back in Shabbos. In Shabbos, Rashi learns, that was in terms of the sugi over there, that a Kilat Chatanim, as Gemara pointed out, is basically a luck charm. It's not a usable bed. They called it a Kilat Chatanim to bring a sense of puriyut to the home. So it was really a bed-like looking thing with a canopy, except the entire thing was tiny. It was only 2 tefachim wide. You know, and maybe, as we say, but not the 2 tefachim. Therefore, nobody could sleep on such a bed. Yes, but the canopy, the total canopy, as we're going to see, hits the bed where the entire width of the bed can only be less than 2 tefachim, as we're going to see.
Oh, I see.
Well, who's going to fit in there? But here, Rashi says, that it is a real kilat chatanim. Meaning they really used it. It's a very fancy canopy bed because it's a pleated canopy bed. Pleated. In other words, there were 50 of these things above the bed. The canopy didn't come all the way down to touch the bed. And each one of them was less than 2 tefachim, but there were 50 of them, so it was a big bed. And that was the Kilat Chatanim. Whatever. In other words, there was a lot of these little zigzagging, pretty-looking canopies on top. It was a fancy canopy.
All these little huge stuff.
Now, each, yeah, it was one piece of material went up and down, zigzagging. Right? Fine. So that's not a problem either. Now, obviously, the only reason it would not be a problem is here it's vertical, it's horizontal, it's over your head. Why isn't it a problem? The only way it wouldn't be a problem is if you didn't have a tefach. And that we're going to have to clarify right now. So that, he says, that's mutter. You can take it down, put it up. Armor of Chase Bread, hold on a moment. Over, let me clarify what the case is. Obviously, Lo Amran Elashay Megaga Tefa. I mean, it can't be that the piece of wood that is supporting the pleat is a tefach, because then that's mamish. No. So how do you take that up and down? If it has a tefach up on the top, that's for sure also. Furthermore, it cannot even come down from the pole within three tefachim. It can't be stretched out to a tefach, because since within three tefachim is a lavah, and if I measure with my ruler within three tefachim of the top pole, and I've got a canopy of a tefach wide, at that point, then I do have an oval on top. So I can't have that either. And there's yet another condition. Lo amran, furthermore, even if ain begaga tefach, lo amran la'kishe ain bepochot shlosh shabbat l'gag tefach, ava yesh pochot shlosh shabbat l'gag tefach, it's awesome. And furthermore, v'chi ain bepochot shlosh shabbat l'gag tefach, there is another condition, which is nami lo amran, ela she'in bishipua tefach. If you measure from the midpoint of the pole, where, let's say you draw a straight line, down to the sheet, now measure to the side where the canopy hits the bed, and between the midpoint and where it hits the bed, it's already a tefach. Oh, then you got problems, which means the entire thing is only two tefachim, which is ridiculous. That's where the problem comes from, right? So over there you got a problem. Why? Because shipu'ei o'alim ko'alim dami. If in the alachson, if in the diagonal you have a tefach, that's also called a tefach. The omer of shisha b'rei d'rebide. So this, of course, there's two possibilities here. Now, the other question, once we're talking about going in and out of places, is can you wear a yeshiva hat on Shabbos, right? A sombrero. So here, there's two questions. One is the problem of you're making a house, because these aren't normal head coverings. These are houses. These are tents, right? This is one problem. Right. That's one problem that we'll have to deal with. And the other is, what if it blows off your head and you couldn't be seen, Bershus Harabim, without your hats? That's for Khalil. So you'd have to carry it. Harabim is Bershus Harabim, and therefore we should have a chashash. So what's the din? So a sayana. Sayana is one of these borsalinos. It's mutter to wear. And what? Tanya answer. Does it say in the Brayta you're not allowed to wear a borsalino on Shabbos? No. Lo kasha. Those were the good old days. Look, Kasha, how to eat be tefach? If it has a tefach, so then it's an oil. So how can you put, of course, no self-respecting yeshiva would wear a rim less than a tefach. So therefore, for sure, it's only the yeshiva hat that's awesome. But if let be tefach, it's mutter. Come on. It's crazy. You're telling me that if you take your talit, you put it over your head, and it sticks out a tefach, that you're over on making an oil on Shabbos? We've already made an oil with clothing. You're telling me it's usher? No, you're right. That's unlikely. Clothing is not an ohel. It depends whether it's tight on your head and it's sewed onto your brain, or whether there's maybe it's got a strap around it. So then, if it won't blow off, it's okay.
If it won't blow off,
then it's okay, because then you won't carry it. But if it can blow off, forget it.
Well, wait, if it's not tight on one's head,
then it can blow off.
Then it can blow off, and that's the problem.
That's correct.
So we want it to be tight on the head.
Yeah, it has to be tight on the head. And that way, if it blows off, it'll take you with it.
What's the oil problem?
But we've decided there's no oil problem. We were only kidding. That's very nice.
So people who own Shamus don't own Spotify.
Oh, that's it. That's the point. That's the Gerrit. We're mocked at the problem with the theft.
So the video.
Option number is probably expensive.
Very nice.
The old city in the 30s. The hats are noticeably, the rims are much smaller than they are today. Mm-hmm. Some of their ties.
It's coming back. It's coming back. And now, a word from our... What's wrong already on the topic of doors? If you've got a closet, right? Now we're not talking about a door that's part of a house. We're getting to the issue whether there is binyan bekelim or not. Now this Tana holds that yesh binyan bekelim, as we're going to see. And nonetheless, if the lower hinge falls off, then you are allowed to put it back in the mikdash, because there's no binyan that's possible on a lower hinge. Now, the way they used to have it was that the upper hinge would basically be the male hinge that supported the entire door. If there's no upper hinge, there's no way that the lower hinge that's plugged into the bottom of the kli is going to be able to stand. The whole door will just fall off. But the upper hinge, obviously, will hold the door on. It'll just be a little crooked if it isn't plugged in on the bottom. So therefore, there's not a problem putting it back in the Mikdash, but not in Medina. But if the upper hinge falls off, then it would be usur even in the Mikdash. Again, Machlok is about whether this would be considered to be actual possibility of Baina, so that if you hold Yesh Binyan Bekalim would be a Malacha Gemura, and that of course is Asur B'Mikdash, or according to Tosfos, no, that's not a real Binyan, but it's a Shvus Gadol, which regards to B'Mikdash is very likely to come to Binyan. All you need is a screwdriver, and then it's already a serious Isser, or a hammer, Shama Yitka. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, the Elyon is even mutter in the Mikdash, the Tachton is mutter even b'Medina. Tan Rabban. The tzir of the delet of a closet, a shida, teva, a migdal, b'Mikdash machzirin, so in the base of Mikdash, you can put it back on. In the Medina, you can't lift it and stick it in, but what you can do is you can bang on it until it moves over and falls into the hole. So at least you didn't know. It's not like an actual binyan, which you could come to be tokeya, but you can push it in and it'll fall of its own weight. If it would be the elyon, kan v'kan lo yachzir, why gzera shema yitka, and if you had been tokeya, using a hammer to get it in, then you would be chayev chatas if you hold that there is a yesh binyan b'kelim. But if it's an actual bor, or a dut, or a yitzia, woo, there, it's real binyan. That's connected to the grip.
What's a yitzia?
A yitzia is what it sounds like. It's a storage shed that looks like the ladies' section in the shul. In other words, it's built off the back of your house as if it's a little porch, except that it's 2 feet high. It's not really a porch.
Oh, okay.
And it's a little tool shed that you lift up that's attached on one end to the wall. You know, very common. Mm-hmm. And it's called a yitzia because it's a yitzia, except it's a tiny yitzia.
In a lot of shuls, the storage shed is the Ezra machine.
Very good. So you're allowed to where do we get to here?
Second last line before the
The email. Zir chayav chatat, because over there, since it's bechubah to the karka, that would be a real binyan. Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Dr. Heilige Mishnah.
Machzirin ritiya b'migdash. Now here, we're talking about a case where a kohen was wearing a bandage. However, he can't do the Aveda if he's wearing a bandage because it's a chatzitza. So what we were mater him to do was to take off the bandage, do the Aveda, and then he's allowed to be machzir in the Mikdash, but not outside of the Mikdash. Because our fear of a ritiya is not a dry bandage. A ritiya is a bandage that's got a poultice on it.
It has a poultice.
It's not a bandage, it's a poultice. So it's got ointment and so on. If it's got ointment, the chashash is, if you rub it, smooth it down, and you're over on the mareach on Shabbos, which is a serious issue to your right.
So it's not the ancient first one.
This is hitiru sofo mishum trilato. In betrila, but to put it on initially, that you can't even do in the Mikdash. Kan v'kan asum. Tana rabbanim. Ritiyah shepir shami agami maka. If a poultice falls off of a wound, you're allowed to put it back on b'Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, wait a minute. If it fell off, meaning it slid down, or it slid up, depending where it was located, when you move your arm, you can push it back down. So if it was ulkulamat, you can push it back up. If it slid up, you can push it back down. That you can do. You can't put it back on completely. And you can be migale. You can even move it off a little bit if you have to clean off the pus from the maka. As long as you don't actually take off the ritiya and put it back on again, you can slide it down a little bit, clean the pus off of the upper part of the wound, slide it up, clean the pus off from the lower part, but don't touch the ritiya itself. The ritiya itzma lo yikaneach b'pleishu ihu mimareach v'imirach yomamish chayav achatas from this. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that you can actually move it in that fashion, but you cannot actually be mavzer completely. Only if it was muhlaka, you're allowed to move. The reason that we paskin here that you can if it falls off is talking about where you didn't take it off for a purpose. Not like in the Migdash where we let you take it off and then put it back on. Here, it's because it's a milter lo shchicha. That's why it's mutter, because the Rabbanan only goes there in normative situations. Somebody puts on a poultice, it's well attached, and he's got these connections on top and the bottom. And how often does something like that fall off? It's like a cast falling off. So remember, they didn't make a gezerah. That was the sheet of the Tanakam over here. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, it can slip and slide, but it's too close to the possibility of being memareach, even to be mater hachzora, only sliding. And we're saying here, that's how we paskin, but you're allowed to move it back and forth.
Open one, you're going for a
no. A bandage, yes, but a tachboshet, not. One is filled with ointment. A bandage is dry. There's no iser in covering a wound, but there's an iser in putting, in spreading an ointment on a wound. Now, when we say that it would be mutter, that is only if it fell onto some kli. That's what the Tanakam says, it's mutter. But if it fell onto the ground, then it's finished. Then it's as if it's off and you're putting on a new one and you can't do that. That's similar to lechatchila. Nobody holds you're allowed to put on a fresh dressing. And that's awesome. Divrei HaKol Asur, even the Tanakam. Omar Mar Bar Ravashi. So Ravashi's son, Mar, said that I was once in my house, I watched my father, was standing there in front of my father, and he had a dressing on a wound, which fell on his pillow, and he put it back on. So I asked him, come on, doesn't my Abba agree that when Rav Chisda said, right? So that means that the whole machloket, Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama, was only in the case where it fell on the pillow. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, even when it fell on the pillow, it's asur. Because afterwards, Shmuel Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So what you're doing is apparently relying that since it was only on the pillow, so then it would be mutter, Aliba, the Tanakama, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's Aser, or maybe you thought that the Machlokas was Bekarka, but everybody was made on the pillow. I don't know, but I mean, that's certainly not the way I was taught. Marley, and he told me, never heard it, meaning ridiculous. Lo Shmieli means, I don't accept that. I mean, it's not I never heard it, but I don't hear it, like we would say. I really don't hear that. So, Klomar, Lo Svirli, no, I disagree. So, in other words, according to him, if it fell only on the pillow, he doesn't agree with Rav Chisda. He held that Dafka Rav Yehuda was arguing only if it fell on the ground. Because the Tanakam was matir if it fell on the ground, and even though we passed like Rav Yehuda, Aliba Shmuel, but Rav Yehuda was made, they could be matir if it fell on my pillow. And therefore, I'm going, Aliba Shmuel, not passed like Rav Yehuda, the Chumra. Very good. Neger, Sheyesh Barosh Augusta, Rav Eliezra, Sev Rav Yehuda, Matir. Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Maaseh, Pekneset, Shabitveria, Shayunah Agimbo, Heter, Achabar, Rabbi Mazakim, because I'm right, says Rabbi Yossi, just the opposite. Isser Nagrubo, until Rabbi Mazakim came along, were Matir, and this wasn't a minag, this was a wrong psak. Otherwise, of course, you don't go to be Matir something, which people have been knowing. So bin nitel be agudo kuli amelo plige it's mutter ki plige be sheino nitel be gado. Mar suffer given the yesh brosh of gluster it's enough and it's clearly not binyan because tarat kuli alav. Mar suffer given the eno nitel be gado lo neger anigrar no alimbo be migdash avalo be minina. But a munach well kan ve kanos Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Hamunach mutar ben migdash vanigrar bamedina. Tonu rabbonim ezel neger anigrar shino ali be migdash avalo bamedina kol shekashur v'talui. But nonetheless, rosho echad is magil oritz and the other side is in the air. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, zeaf bamedina muta ezel neger shino ali be migdash avalo bamedina. Not even with a string. And you're shown till you put it in the corner till you need it. No, that was a permanent fixture by Buridash. Dito Bigudo Avi. Ravavia Iklanar do Khazalu Garvadavika Kotter Bagumi. Oh my gummy, you gotta be kidding. Dane Lonitrok, well you the minute you touch it, it's gonna break. Boy, Rabbi Zera, how about if it goes straight through Nikmas into the ground? Mao. Om Rav Yosef, what's the problem? Lo shmilo yadatanya nishmat asur nikmaz mutar. Rav Yonahemar, nikmaz is always asur. It doesn't matter whether it's, even if it would be kashur, it wouldn't help anymore. So alfa bishenu nishmat it's asur. V'om Rav Yonahemar shmolok Rav Yudah benikmaz. V'taim omai, om Rabbeb, shudabich zikabayna. Boy minei Rav Nechumi bar Zacharya miyabaye. Asalo bit yad mahu. Omale, what's the problem? Buchna gamret. Itmar, Rav Nechumi Barada, Asalo Bet Yad Mutar, and there was a Sharit at Avi Bei Rav Pados, which is the same situation. Avi Medala Lo Bei Asara, and they would throw it up against the door. Omale, Vlomine, Omar, Torat Kli Allah. And we see that Avi Bei Mashmuel, Avi Marzeket Adriba, and nonetheless, Shari Mashmuel Mishdaya Adasha. Why? Said Tanya Torat Kli Allah. Shalach Rami bar Yecheskel Rav Amram. Name lo mar mahani mili mal yota damarta la mishpeh Ravasi bekipidi arba. Shalach leyocham Ravasi hani kipidi arba. There's manch yeshvem tefach, or even if they don't even have a tefach. But there's not shloshat fachim between one and the other, so it's lovud. Lemachar maybe machatzel to pour esavayim. My taima, mosif alarayi. And that's fine. Peshaper domo. What should I do for Shabbos? Omar, simple. Zil kroch budya, and leave a tefach out of the roll. And then lamachar pashta, and then you'll just be a mosif al roy, and then it's butter. Omar amishar mebechia, avilon, mutala nantato, mutala for kobi Shabbat. Kilat chetanim, so it's muter leforkov laratota b'shabbat. Omer Rav Sheshi Perei Revi, let me clarify that. Lo amra lo she'in begaga tefach. But if yesh begaga tefach, forget it. V'yein begaga tefach, it's still, if it's got within pachot mishloshat somuch legag, it can't have a tefach there either. Yesh bepachot mishloshat somuch legag tefach, it's osir. And even then, even if ein bepachot mishloshat somuch legag tefach, it's still not going to be mutter, unless ein b'shipu'a tefach. But if you've got a tefach b'shipu'a, it's also going to be osur. Kashipule shipu'e o'alim ka'al imdamu. Yomer b'shishu b'rei d'revidi. A sayana is shori. What? Fatanya asur lo kasha. Adi b'tefach. Hardalot b'tefach. So one's a board salino, and the other is... what's that junk brand? Stetson's a good one. The cheap imitation brand they sell here. Elamiata Sharviv, but we make tefach. You tell them you can't wear a talus on Shabbos sticking out of it. Achnam de Usser. What are all these crazy white suited people going to do? Elaloka, Shahadim, Ahadik, Adalam, Ahadik. Machzirin, Siratachton, Bibigdash, Avalo, Bibinav, Elyon, Kan, the Kanasur. Rabbi Yudomir, no, the Elyon is Mutramigdash. Vatachton, Bamedina. Tana Rabbanan Seer of Adelit, Shida Tevo Migda, where it's only a kli. So the Migdash Machzirim, the Medina, you're allowed to poke it until it falls into place. The Elyon, no way. Kanvakam no Yachzir, because of Exera Shema Yitka. And if you actually went, we're Tokei Bichai Vachatas. But on something that is in the ground, Bor, Dut, Yetzia, there it's Osir, it's Binyan Mamish. Lo Yachzir, Vim Yachzir. Chayav chatat. Machzir tia b'migdash, avalo b'medina, im b'tchila, kan v'kan asur. Tana Rabbana. Ritia, sheporsha mi'agabi ha'maka, machazirin b'shabbat. Rabbi Yudah Omer, no, it can't be machzir. Huch l'kalamata, yes, dochi l'mala, l'mala dochalamata. You could even be megala mikzat haritia in order to take the pus off of the makah and then move it to the other side. But the retiyah tzma lo yikaneah, because you could be over mimareah. And if you're mimareah, chayav chatas. Om Rav Yudah Mishmal lo Rav Yudah. Om Rav Chista lo shana lo machlokes dafket spirshah gabi kli. It's pirshah gabi karka. Everybody's made of the tosser. Omar Amar Barei Dervashi, that's not so poshut, sir, because Havakim Nekameda Abba, and Nofalei Abesadya, and I see he's putting back on Shabbos. Aminale, excuse me, Lo Sova Lamar, Lo Dom Rav Chisa, the Machlokis is Davka Shepirsha Gabi Kli, but if it's Pirsha Gabi Karka, it's Osir, and that case where it's Pirsha Gabi Kli, is the, where we pass like Rabbi Elazar. On Marlin, he said, can't get me to believe that. Lo shmirli, klomer lo svirli.
Let it out.
I can't hold
now,
it in.
Now. Vulgar or!
There you go. Okay, we're up to Mishnah on the Kuf Beis. Neger HaNigra, this is basically a continuation. Yesterday we talked about a Neger Sheesh Barosh Obelistra, which was a pin, basically, or a stud. That there it had a shame of a kli, because at least it would have been usable as a pestle. Today we're talking about a neger, which is just a stud, and it's a piece of wood that's used for closing a door. It doesn't have brosh or booster up, but it's connected to the door, but it's connected with the door in such a way that it's dragged along the ground as you move the door, but it's not hanging on the door. And then, again, we spoke yesterday, if it would be hanging with a string that's strong enough to make it actually part of the door, there's no discussion. So here, clearly, it wasn't really strong enough to hold the car, we're assuming. So such a thing, you could be noalim bo b'migdash. So since we have over here a halacha that is only mitzik b'ina, it's not really b'ina. The reason that it's not really b'ina is because it's made as part of the delet, connected, meant to be put in and out all the time. So therefore, in the Beit HaMikdash, generally speaking, we did not make Yisurei Shvut, because over there it's a Bokam of Zrizut, and people don't come to be over. Avalob and Medina, but because of its similarity to Binyan, because of Mirzik Kabona, we answer it outside of the Beit HaMikdash. The Hamunach, that which would be a Neger, that is not connected at all to the door, is considered to be Binyan Bamash, according to the Tanakhama, and would be Osir even in the Beit HaMikdash. Kan v'kan Osir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hamunach Mutar B'Migdash. Rabbi Yehuda holds that once it's miyuchet for it, it's not considered to be binyan, literally. The question is only whether it's mifzik binyan. Nigrar itself is not even mifzik binyan. So therefore, if it's munach and it's not connected, so then in the Beit HaMikdash it's mutar because we don't make the zeir of mifzik abona. Nigrar, which is mifzik abona, we aser b'medina. Tana Rabbona Nezeu Neger HaNigrar Shinoalim B'Migdash Avalo B'Medina. What exactly is a neger hanigra that is usher outside of the Beit HaMikdash because of mifzi kibode? Kol shekashur v'taluin, any type of plug that is connected to the door with a rope and hanging, but Rosh HaFad Nagi al Haaretz, one side is still touching the ground and therefore drags as you pull the door. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that you're calling a neger, it's after medina mutar. Such a thing would be mutar, once it's kashur, it's definitely not baina. The case that we could say is mirze, and therefore would be also b'medina mutar b'migdash, is koshen lo kosher v'lo talui. We're talking about a neger that shows no external connection to the door. V'shomto, you take it out when it's time to open the door. You put it in the corner, and then when you want the door to be locked in position, you reinsert it. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda b'nigra. We paskin the way Rabbi Yehuda paskins b'nigrar, in other words, that's mutter even outside of the mikdash. However, we don't go so far as to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda by the munach. There we don't paskin like him, because in the mikdash, munach itself would be usher, because indeed that is binyan mamash. Omar Rav Avahu shekashur bedelet. You need, in the case of talking about totally the kashur, that it's kashur on the door, not that it's kashur in the doorway. The idea over here is that it's part of the actual movable door. Really? Didn't Rav Tava once come to Mechuza, and everybody noticed that when he walked in, he was looking at the neger that was hanging on a string in the doorway, attached to the wall, where the door would close, and he didn't say anything. Now, even though it was also hitting the ground. So apparently it doesn't have to be part of the door. It could be even part of the wall. And it's also not near a kibbeinah, because it's clear that it was meyuchad to be taken in and put out. And so it's similar to the door itself. Says the Gemara, that's not a raya. The case over there was nito b'yigudah havi. Over there it was kosher with such a strong string, as we said yesterday, by the case of the neger sheyesh barosh b'lustra, that if there's a strong string, so then there's b'chol nothing to talk about. If it's lifted with the string, then it's mamish considered to be mechubal abinyan. And how could it possibly be considered a new binyan? So there he didn't complain. But enofinami, if it would be something that is essentially loose, you're only indicating its connection by having it dragged, so it has to be part of the door. When Rav Avia once came to Narada, he saw somebody that was tying a neger, not only not with a chevel chazak, but he was basically using a piece of reed that it would, and he thought that that's good enough. With that, you're not going to close anything. Because the gomi is so weak that it's not even considered to be kosher. Forget about whether it's nital be igudos. In other words, we have three dargas according to this. You need to have a chevel. But the chevel needs to be strong enough to at least prevent the horizontal breaking of the neger from the door. Then you can have less than that, which is gomi, that won't count at all. You have more than that, which is nital be igudos. And that's even good enough that it's considered to be, according to kol hadeos, mechur b'ladele. Even connected to the doorway. And yesterday, in the afternoon, we had in the Machlokas, in the previous mission, everybody was made up. It's little be good, and it's Yesh Barashar Yagushara. That is no problem. Boy Rabbi Zeir, Nikmaz Mao. How about if the threshold has gotten eaten away to the extent that when you push the neger down, it not only goes into the iskuf, it goes directly to the ground underneath the iskuf?
Huh?
Yeah, but it's always like a bolt, but usually it just bolts into the piece of whatever you're using, wood or balata. Over here, it's eaten through, you see this often, and it eats all the way through, it gets into the ground. Once it's in the ground, it's more doimel abinyan, because it's not that it's attached to a binyan that's already there, you're sticking it literally into the ground. Maybe that would be more similar to binyan, which raser, even if it is mechor beladele, what would be the bin? Omer Rav Yosef, mighty boy, I don't know what's bothering him. Lo Shmila Yad Tanya, he doesn't know the Braisa. The Braisa says, Nishmat Asur, that if it broke, the rope broke, now basically you want to reuse it because it had a rope once, that's Asur. But Nikmaz is Mutter. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, very interesting that Rabbi Yehuda says, look, the Nishmat, okay, that's a problem for you guys. I'm not so marked with it. But Nikmaz is a problem. This time more marked. Alpha Pishenu Nishmat, it would be Asr. Because indeed, there, for the first time, I see it as being Bitsik Abayin. There, too, we find that Shmuel Paskin, like Rabbi Yehuda, to be Machmer by Nikmaz, but time of my Rabbi Mishum de Mitsik Abayin. Since it's going directly into the ground, there already it's included in Mitsik Abayin. Mashen Kane, Rabbi Yehuda is very Mako when it's Bechuber in any way to a Binyan that exists, even if it's not literally connected, but when it's plugged in, it's only plugged into the Binyan. Why would somebody see that as Baina? It's clearly meant to be part of an existing binyan. Once existing binyan no longer serves as the framework for the neger, then already even Reb Yehuda is mach. How about if asalo beit yatma? What if you would actually make a handle for the neger? You're not tying it on to the string. It's not bored. It looks like a stamp of piece of wood. Over here, it's clear that I put a handle in it, and then it's not kosher. I put it on the side of the door. When I want to use it, I pick it up and use it. Is there a problem if it's a kli mamish? What's the matter with it? You're talking about over here, you're talking about a pestle. No, is there anybody would hold that there's an issur to use a kli to hold the door open? This is a kli, basically. You've established it as a kli. Itma amar of Nechumi Barada, asalo beit yad mutar. Indeed, it's completely mutar, there's no problem. Furthermore, there was ahu shirita, da'ami be'raf padat, avi medal be'be asara. There was a large board, and a board we know they always consider to be a kli, because it was always roy for yeshiva. So you got korah. A korah that's sitting in a yard is considered to be, okay, unless it's, of course, it's in a pile, and it's going to be used for binyan, where you're going to be out of a market. But normally, stama korah, we consider it to be basically a bench, the way we would look at a bench. This thing was so heavy that it would take 10 people to move it. And nonetheless, it was used by them to bolt the door at night, and there was no issur in it. Because lamais, it's a kli, which is very similar to the case of the asalo beit yad. So something that's a beit yad, we never look at as being binyan. They would put it into the door at night, and they wouldn't, nobody complained. Why? Because on the Torah, kli aleha. Furthermore, there was an asita, well, all along we've been dealing with the pestle, we might as well get to the mortar. There was such a large pestle that it contained 15 bushels. It was enormous. And nonetheless, Shora Mashmul, the Mishdai Adasha, Mashmul held that you were allowed to push it up against the door at night.
And it's not a cliche
from
Aftalaf, is it? Did I miss this?
A cliche from
Aftalaf,
is there? It's the mortar, it's not the pestle, it's the machzakis. Could you tell us over, please, some of the nice things? I remember you told us over such interesting halachas that had to do with these temporary coverings that are made on boats. And what they would do is they would basically, I mean, you see this all over in those little boats that they use, you know, in Amsterdam and Paris to go through the canals.
Canal
boats. You have these half circles, basically, that go above the boat. And then if it's rainy, they spread a plastic over it so you can see through the sides. So those are kipi, it's bent over wood that are half circles. The arba of a boat. So what would be the din on Shabbos about spreading over the plastic, over the kipi? Shalach. Sounds pretty nice. Looks like we're running out of time. So he said to him like this: Shalach le'achi amar Ravasi, hani kipi the arba bisman sheishmem tefach. If each one of the particular kipis, of the little pieces of metal, whatever that you bend over, is a tefach wide, that would mean that it already has a shame oil. Or for that matter, in Amiendan Tefach, even if it didn't have a full Tefach, but Ein Bein Zele Zeshlosha, you don't have a distance of 3 Tefachim between them, in which case they're now viewed as Lavut. So anyway, you have the equivalent of a Tefach Lamala. Yeah, each one of them, each circle is less than 3 Tefachim away from the other circle. It's one of these caterpillar-like devices. You know, it's a frame that looks like a caterpillar after you put it on the top.
These halachas would be like the canopy bed that we had, right?
Yeah, that's the next Mishnah, which is what this is introducing. So basically we're getting into the next sugya, which we're introducing.
It doesn't do with the boat.
Nothing to do with the boat, really. It's just that's where they use it. So we call them kipi arvas. So if you have already an ohel that's there, then lamocha maybe machatzel to purus aleh. Then tomorrow you can spread out the canvas or the plastic and there's no problem. My time, because you're only being maisif aloy alaroyu for shabridami. Basically, what you have over here is an oil aroi that already existed and that you're adding to, we already said before, that's not a problem. Anu Dikri, Ravuna had a problem in his barn, basically, at the same situation. He had these sheep, these rams. The Havi by the Ravuna, the Biamolam Bavutula, he needed, it was a very hot time of the year, and they couldn't stand being out in the sun. So during the day, he needed shade. Whereas at night, he needed air, because it was very hot. It would be much more kedai for his animals to be in the open. So that's what came to Rav. He came to Rav to ask what to do on Shabbos, because like this, he was able to spread a roof over the top in the daytime to shade them, and take it off at night. What should I do on Shabbos? On Marley, so Rav told him, it's no problem. You can be zeal krov budya. What you should do is, you should have, when you take off the machatzelet before Shabbos, in the night now, you're taking it off in order to give them air. Don't take it off completely. In other words, wrap it around itself, and leave it up there, so you've still got a tefach that's standing, shayar ba tefach, and then you still have an ol aroi. So then the mocher pashta, then tomorrow you can spread it out, the rest of it, and then it's okay because you're only being most of all aroi, for shapir dami.
What's budya?
The canvas. Omer Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya, vilon mutala natoto mutala porko b'shabbat. If you have a vilon, you have a curtain that's on a door, and that's serving as your delet. Over there's no problem, because basically the delet already is a petha, so it's always just going to be being meisuf with the Nayol Aroi, and therefore, I mean, according to Rashi, it's not even called a Nayol under those circumstances, there's no top to it, and therefore you can even put it up and take it down on Shabbos. Kilat Chatanim, which is what David was referring to earlier, a Kilat Chatanim, remember Rashi said there's a number of different pshatim. Rashi's usual pshat, which over here he doesn't hold on, he brings an alternative. Rashi's usual pshat is a Kilat Chatanim is decorative. So it looked like a bed, but it was actually a small shelf where you would display little knickknacks and things, and it had a canopy on it that you would spread apart. It looked really cute. For
very common in words.
Yes?
No, I don't know. I
thought we had some neighborhood information here. So therefore, the case, if you view it that way, the case is not strange, because it comes out that a kilat chatanim must have had some awfully thin chatan. If kilat chatanim means a place to display your wedding gifts already, then it makes much more sense. So the case over there is that you have a canopy, but the kilat chatanim only has one, instead of having the canopy supported on both sides with the naklitin that stretch from either side of the bed, this has a pole down the middle, in other words, from the top of the bed to the end of the bed in the middle of the bed, and you put the canopy on it, and it stretches across the bottom. So there's nothing holding the canopy up on the edges. In such a case, the problem would be whether you have an ohel, if you put it up, are you making an ohel with the size of a tefach in the middle? Which is the opposite case of what we want to achieve by Rav, where over there you're leaving the tefach. So here, if it's a kilat chatanim, you're allowed to put it up or take it down on Shabbos. But, since Rav Shesha, the Ravina, that's only if lo armen el shein begaga tefach. It's only if when you spread the top, it's not going to create a tefach. Avayesh begaga tefach asur. We say, what do we mean gaga? What we mean is that when you spread the blanket across the sides, or the curtain across the sides, now it's being spread by the bed. So within three tefachim of the top, where it comes to a point on the pole, is there a tefach at the lower part of the three tefachim?
Between the fabric.
If there is, then that whole thing is viewed as sealed. And then you are creating a gag of a tefach. So then you're making an oel in the beginning. That you can't do. So obviously we don't have very much of a spread over here. You know, otherwise, how can you can't even imagine it? But it gets worse than that. Furthermore, if you would draw a line, take a look at your Rashi over there, the second case, you draw a line from the middle of the triangle, so you would bisect the triangle, and then the base of the triangle on either side wouldn't have a tefach. Oh, man. So, well, not if the chasm is really thin. So this is why Rashi says that this is mad. So there was either, in other places he says it's not meant for sleeping on, obviously. Here, Rashi gives an explanation, other Rishonim said elsewhere, which is that what we're talking about is multiple kilot chatanim. In other words, each bed is made of, let's say, 5 or 10 of these. Yeah. No, it's usual. It's unbelievable. Can't get it right. There we go. That one.
Looks like the Mishnah.
Yeah, sort of. There's got to be someone who doesn't really like it. Rashi has this decorative that they're up and down, not like that. So that's not quite right.
That's the whole book, so don't worry, it's over now.
It's over, thank heavens. But that's not the case of Rashi.
Right.
So Rashi learns that basically it's a decorative top that goes like this, up and then down, and up and down, on different levels, to give it a wavy, fluffy look. That's really romantic. So then we're talking about the point at which it comes to the bottom isn't the bed. It's the arbitrary point at which you have this big curtain hanging up to, let's say, a foot from the top or whatever it is.
Wait, there's less than a bed up
in
each one.
Of each one individually. So there already, it's obviously very pretty. There we go! An accurate picture. Wow! Look at that! This is the Hose Vahadar. There we go. The last picture in Eruv. Beautiful. This is how Rashi is. And finally got it right. And it's an amazing thing. It's just amazing. It's just a study of a human court. You'd think if you're going out of your way to set up a book that has pictures, you would research the way the pictures are supposed to look.
You don't have anything in mind. You don't have a spot. But what is that? Are those poles?
Those are the poles. Those are the next
little
thing. Because you're creating a fluff.
I thought the whole idea with the was not. You just pulled it out of the head and
no,
the
no, no. They're not poles on either side. They're decorative poles. Okay. Amazing. You see it in other Talmud as well. Fine. So over there, you don't have a problem. At that point, when it's at an angle like that, that forms a tefach, then because it's b'shipua, we view the entire thing as the roof. And therefore, that itself is an oil. Yom Rav Shisha, Breger of Eating. Furthermore, Sayona Shorik. It's mutter to wear a hat on Shabbos that's made out of felt. You're allowed to walk outdoors with such a hat. What's going to be talking about? With the picture also? Not.
That was also part of this, I think.
Yeah, that's part of this. Not part of this, that is this.
The width of each one is more than a tefach. The
width of each one from its midpoint to its side.
Is more than a tefach.
More than a tefach. Each one of them is an oval. Because the slanted roof is a roof. Shipoy olim ka olim dam. It's not standing. We look at the diagonal of that sort. We look at the diagonal as being itself a roof and not as being a machitza inside. Therefore, it has a din of an oil.
It's also.
Yeah,
I mean, it's shorter distances. I
mean, if
each part is bent over a tefach, then that means you have a tefach that has a cover, which is an oil. Since even though it's at an angle, it's b'shipua, it's nonetheless an oil. Why are you looking so confused? It's just so straightforward. Is this side of the Gemara? Is this an oil or is it a machitza?
The length of that strip would be
a tefach. No, nothing to do with the length. Huh. If right here, from the midpoint till here, is a tefach, then this is a tefach that has a covering. This side is the covering. And that gives it a din of an oil, even though it's b'shipua.
But why did they take it from the midline instead of the
whole? Because what we need to look at is the air, it's only covering from the midline. when you have an inverted V. But one midline is covered from this side, and one is covered from this side.
Okay.
So the question is, does this side have a tefach, or does this side have a tefach? The fact that the whole thing has a tefach doesn't help us with the shipua.
Uh-huh.
In other words, each shipua is viewed as the cover of the area that's beneath it. That's the point. It's not that we look at the whole thing as one big oil. What makes it an oil is the fact that there's a tefach that it's covering. On the contrary, if we would view it together, then we'd have to indeed view it. We couldn't say that it's up like this. And we view the midpoint as being the oil, and the other parts as being the sides. Now, wearing a hat would be mutter. Ay, Vatanya Asur, doesn't it say that wearing a hat is Asur? Lokasha ha de ibe tefach. We always point it out. This is one of those strange things that, in order to be machmir, we end up being mekel. So ha de ibe tefach, ha de let be tefach. It depends. If it's a borsel, you know, that has a proper kind of tefach brim, then it's definitely Asur. If it's a non yeshivish hat, then it's mutter. That's the way. So, well, let's see. Elamiata sharvi v'glima tefach. Let's see. If you take your talis, you put your talis over your head, and it juts out a tefach, which is very normal. So then you tell me I'm making an oil, and I'm not allowed to put on my talis on Shabbos. You know, that's what you're saying. It has a tefach. No, that's different. So here the question is: do we say ella or we don't say ella? There's two different approaches of the Rishonim. So we could say lo kasha adam hadik adalom hadik, which is the way the Rabbeinu Chananel learns it, the Rambam learns it. In other words, if the brim firm. So if it's a firm brim and it sticks out, not like the talus. The talus is material. As long as you hold it, it looks like a tefach. You let go, it's not a tefach. I mean, that's not considered making an oil. But if you have a firm brim that's felt, and then you put on the hat, so then the moment you put on the hat, what's the difference between putting on a hat or opening an umbrella? It's exactly the same thing.
So
you're creating an oil on Shabbos, so therefore it should be osur, and is. The other pshat is that ella, we're going back. And we're saying that the pshat over here is forget about it. There's no Indian of an oil if it's something that you're wearing. That's how Rashi learns. But the difference is whether it's attached firmly to your head. So if it's mahadek, so then we're not worried that the wind is going to blow it away, you're going to end up carrying it arabam as versus arabi. But if it's lo mahadek, then there's a whole different issue. Don't wear something that could blow off of your head on Shabbos. So now the question is, since we pass in the Chumra like both of these shittas in the Shulchan Aruch, so the question is, okay, so what was the heter of wearing hats that can blow off of your head? So, because, I mean, they hadn't discovered Borsellino yet in those days, and they didn't have that shaila. So the heter that was brought by the Nesek Kalim is the fact that people won't walk without Kisui Rosh in the Rosh Hashanah. So if, even if it blows off, there's no Kshash that you're carrying. You put it on your head. No, I'm saying, if you, the minute you catch it, you'll put it on your head. You're embarrassed to be walking the road.
Walking is
the problem. The problem is picking up and carrying it with you. It blew off, so you'll run and catch it and put it on your head. But you won't walk with it. We're worried about our bombs being surrounded. But that's only if you're not wearing the yarmulke on your head, which became the chumra to wear a hat with the tefach but not with the yarmulke. There should be only a hat. But the problem, don't wear it because of this. But they're only saying on this. The problem is that we pass in like the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Chananel also the Chumra. So if it has a tefach, it's no good. So there, it's okay if it's made in such a way that it's hanging down.
Well, that's why they're wearing an angle.
At an angle. No, not the whole hat.
The
ring
with the button that's modest you might be.
Which one?
A hat that has the ring with the button.
What is the point of that?
Put it around your neck.
That's really good. It's really a job.
Nobody does it, but you put a button in your cloak so then it doesn't blow away.
No kidding. That's the shot. I always thought it was like a weird decorative effect. No, that's amazing. How do you like that? And the feather was then having a soft landing. Okay, but it's another one of those strange kind of situations. Yeah, but the outside, when you put it on, you're now putting something that's stretching out over.
So the brim is
the oil, of course. Yeah, the brim. We're not talking about a nice top hat, but a small bowler.
That's why the English.
Yes, the gearer, the very market. That's why they have the
open umbrella.
It's the same as wearing a hat. It's the same as wearing the hat. Your hat's open, and now you're putting it on, so you're creating the umbrella when you're putting it on.
Yeah, but the hat is derech levusha. How can you say that with the umbrella holding your hand? Isn't derech levusha a different
hand? The hat
is there was an opportunity to make
kosher is never, never more powerful than Mahadrin for beauty. Styles are certainly.
Really? Is the best determined?
Tefer. To be awesome. Yeah. Come. Ready?
What do we say?
We're waiting for you. Marzirin sir hatachton b'migdash avalob b'medina. Ha'elyon kan v'kan asur. Another issue where we make the distinction between Migdash and Medina in terms of doors is where you have a door on a cabinet, let's say, like we have. There you could have it on a lishka and so on. Where the pivot, remember that the tzirim in those days were essentially pivot tzirim that stuck into the bottom of the ground or of the threshold or of the cabinet, as the case may be. So it often happens that the bottom one pulls out a little bit, you need to give it a poke to get it back into shape, into place. And it happens sometimes as well that the bottom one may be completely out of the hole, and yet it's still supported by the upper pivot, because you have it, it's like you often have on the windows, that the kind of thing where you have to take it out completely in order for it to be cleaned and so on. So over there, you can put back the tzira tachton, but not the elyon, and in the Beit HaMikdash, but not the Medina again, because we're afraid. Here it's not because it's Michzi Kabeina. Here it's because we're afraid that in order to get it back, you may actually end up using the kind of tools that will force the piece back in and strengthen the base. And because of then you'll mamish be involved in binyan. But the Medina, we make that gezeira, not the Mikdash. Ha'elyon, the upper one, if it's detached from the upper one, then it's mamish boneh, not a gezeira boneh, according to the Tanakhama, and therefore it would be usher even in the Mikdash. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha'elyon b'mikdash is also, would be mutter, according to him. This is because l'chora, we're talking not about a door on an actual lishka. We're talking about on some type of container, an aron of some kind, in which case would have a bit of a clean, and ein binyan b'kelim. In which case, if ein binyan b'kelim, so then we would be matter even the elyon in the mikdash. Tana rabbana, it depends. Therefore, the price comes. The tachton b'medina, according to, since the whole thing anyway is not really shayach to binyan, so therefore the only part that we're gozer on is something that's more mitzvah. Something that already is completely mitakein, that the door wouldn't stand at all without it, that indeed will asik the medina. Therefore, the Brice now explains the nafkamina of the glatot. So Tana Rabbanan, tsir delet, shida, tibao, migdal. If you're talking about the hinge of a delet or a shida, of a shida, tibao, migdal, which are types of aronot, as we've seen before, and are not really connected to the ground, so then the migdash, you could be magzer, but migda, you could poke. You can't be magzer, but if it's a little loose, you can poke the door so that it swings more easily. Well, yon kan vekan lo yachzir, gzera shema yitka. Hashem came the upper hinge. You can't because of a gzera. And over there, im taka, chayev chatas. If lamaisa, you would force it in, then you would be chayev chatas because yesh bidin vekelim. Shel bor, shel dut, v'shel yitziah. All of which are basically mechuber to the karka. Because there already there's an isser binyan mamish. So there we answer it, even though it's the tachton. And lo yachzir, v'im hichzir chayev chatar. Not a gzer of shema yitzka, but chazara alone, you'd be chayev on. What does it do? Nice. The yitzia is the same thing, except it goes around something. But it's also mechuber.
The Rashi says there is, if you might, there's a guard saying, well,
tools. It's not derech opinion. You can't do it because the kiyama.
You can bang it with your fist.
Yeah, so then it wouldn't be really tough. Machzirin ritiya b'migdash, another nafkamina would be, between the migdash and the medina, is that a kohen who had a wound and he had a bandage, the bandage had on it now some type of antiseptic mishka. How do you say mishka in English?
Ointment,
obviously. But yes, so there's always a problem there, l'chatchila, to use such a bandage on Shabbos, to make such a bandage. You could be over the d'oraisa by being nimareya. You're going to rub it smooth.
A plaster?
No. Because you were talking about something that you could be in the Maria. Some plasters can, some plasters not necessarily. So, but like a Vaseline type thing. So there, if it fell off, it was already made before. We'll see whether falling is the same as making. But in the Migdash, the Kohen would remove it, because otherwise he would have a Chatzitza. So Shabbos, can he put it back on? So in the Migdash, it can be Magzir. The Gemara says elsewhere that this is considered to be one of the things that they were Matir, Trilaso Mishum Sofa. That they saw that if they would be Makhir on the Kohen, then he wouldn't do a Leila B'chlal. Not to have his bandage, not to be able to put the bandage back on, he would be Nimna from the Avoda. So the they were Matir putting it back on. Even though the putting it back on is not itself a tzarech avodah, that we'll say is mutter in the Mikdash. Let's say stam anybody, but you can go and do any issur of Shabbos in the Mikdash. Tony Rabbanan. That's what the entrance the Mikdash means. But over here, since it's the avodah in the Mikdash, because in the end they won't do the avodah. So therefore, we were matir it in this case too. In betchilah to make the bandage in the first place. So then obviously that's also in the Mikdash too, because that's bechlam not a tzarech avodah. So then kan v'kan asur. If the ritiyah fell off on its own, so there already, it's not talking about a case where you took it off, I'm not to put it back on. You can put it back on Shabbos, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, well, no, if it fell off completely, you can't put it back on. But if huchlika lamata doch kalamala, lamala doch kalamata, very often you have a sort of loose bandage, it slips a little, it slips. You can slide it back onto its place. So what you can do is, as long as you leave the bandage on and slide it down a bit to get the pus off of the wound and slide it back up, but don't actually try to clean the bandage, and certainly not put some new Vaseline or anything in the bandage, because then you can come to be Mamarea. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Paskin like that you can't be Machzir, but you can be Machalik. Omer Chisa Lo Shana Lo Shapir Shagabi Kli, Avokir Shagabi Karkin, the Kolos. Where did the Rabbanan say that if it fell off, that it would be okay? That's if it fell off in a way that didn't make it, now it just fell off on the ground, so it's no longer something that's usable. But Pir Shagabi Kli, let's say it fell off on your pillow. Let's say it fell off on your pillow, or something like that. So then it would be only there, okay, not on the ground. Because once it falls to the ground, it's as if you're putting it on Milchat Chila. They were also made of the Gzera that maybe you'll come to be Mamachik as us. Omar Mar Bar Avashi, Avakina Kanei Ava. So Mar Bar Avashi said, I saw my father in a case where Nofle Abay Sadia, the Komaharele. His bandage fell off onto his pillow. Nonetheless, he put it back on. Now, you could have said that he's going like the Rabbanan, but the problem is that Shmuel passed him like Rabbi Yehuda. So I said to him, Aminale, lo savale mar lo damer chista machloki shapir shagabi kli, avo pir shagabi karka aser, and Omar Shmuel aloch Rabbi Yehuda. Like this, you could have timed it that, no, this case, it fell off of Beisadia, it would be okay, I feel all of Rabbi Yehuda. But now that we have these two pieces of information, then number one, even the Tanakhamas might have fell off on the ground. Which would mean that if it was Abbe Sadia, it would be Mutter only Ali Rebbe Yehuda. And furthermore, we have Shmuel Paskening that we go Lechurma like Rebbe Yehuda. Why did you do it? Amarlei. And he told me, Amarlei, Lo Shmiali, Kolomar Lo Svirali. I don't hold of that. Meaning that, there's two Pirushim really here. Some learn Lo Shmiali is the Pshat. I was not Mikabal, the fact that we're only being Chaylek where it was Nafal. A Beisadia or in a Kli and not on a Karka. Therefore, I hold in the case where it's a Beisadia, even the Chachamim would be made up. Or, Lo Shmiali, what was quoted from Shmuel, that Allah Rabbi Yehuda Lechumra. A further case. Koshim Nima B'Migdash, Avalo B'Medina, Ve'im B'Tchila, Kan V'Kan Asur. Here the question is like this. We know we had an orchestra in the Beis HaMikdash that would be playing on Shabbos. And the Shaila is, how about if one of the string instruments, if one of the strings snapped, can you repair the string on Shabbos? So you have to stop playing. So that was the Shaila. So it says here that you could tie the string in a Mikdash, but not in the Medina. And if you hadn't prepared it before, in other words, you never had the string, well, you could have done it from yesterday, so then it would be awesome. Now, the Chora, the case over here, therefore, is telling me
that if you have machshira in mitzvah that couldn't have been done before, since the shira is a mitzvah, so in order for me to be defined the mitzvah, machshira in mitzvah is different as a Shabbos. And it would be referring to actually making a knot, which would be a kesher shokayona. And nonetheless, it's mutter, but only where I couldn't do it before. Okay, we'll see. That's possible. But then the nafkamina, betchila, not betchila, is more difficult to explain. Like this, I know that there's a sheet that holds in machshira in mitzvah dochma Shabbos all the time. So the answer to the mila. The shita that holds the machshir mitzvah not derech b'klal. And the shita that's mavdo between the case where it was actually last six merib shatz. Fine. So v'ramin nimat kinor shenifseka lo haya koshra ela onva. I hear it says that you cannot be kosher, and yet the Mishnah says you can be kosher. If you can be kosher, then because that's the whole point. Kesher means a kesher shakayama. And here the bride is saying no, can't make a kesher. You can only make a loop, which anyway is not a chil Shabbos. So how do you explain that? Lokasha. It depends who you hold of. Harabbanan or Rebbe Eliezer. The Rebbe Eliezer on Machshir Mitzvah Deicha is a Shabbos Kesha. If you hold of Rebbe Eliezer, so then Machshirei Mitzvah are Deicha Bechlal. And why would I go ahead and make an Aniva? According to the Rabbanan who say that Machshirei Mitzvah are not Deicha Shabbos, then you'd have to make an Aniva so that it would be only an Issur Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. If you're holding like Rebbe Eliezer, why does it say in bitchila kan v'kan osir? If I need to have now my kinor and I don't have a string in my kinor, so you're telling me you should have done it before Shabbos, because I should have done it before Shabbos. Therefore, what? So I'm a bad boy. Can I do it or not? So according to Rebbe Eliezer, you can do it. Not sure, mitzvah daichin, whatever it takes. Like by the case of Mila, you could even go ahead and dig the metal and then make the metal to make the sakin. And so, why can't I make my kinor? So why would the Mishnah make an afkamina between betchila or only as an accident on Shabbos? It cannot, therefore, be the machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbanan. That's a problem. Okay, let's go back on what we said. Hello, Kasha. Actually, the machlokas over here is the machlokas about what the din of Aniva is. Ha Rebbe Yehuda or Rabbanan. When Rebbe Yehuda, we know that Rebbe Yehuda's shita is that an Aniva is exactly the same as Kshira. So therefore, according to Rebbe Yehuda, what's the point of making a loop? A loop is a knot. So b'meila, you might as well go ahead and knot it. But according to the Rabbanan who hold that there's a nafkamina between an anivanic kesher, so that's going according to the Rabbanan, since it's possible to achieve the same goal of having a whole string by using an aniva, so it's best to do the aniva. According to Rebbe Yehuda, it makes no difference, then do it right. If you're anyway going to be mechal Shabbos. But that's all very nice, but I'll leave it in mind. What sheet are they holding on when it comes to the issue of machshir and mitzvah? I mean, you're saying, you're making an assumption here that the machshir and mitzvah is doicheh, but only where it couldn't have been done before. Who are we going according to? I mean, yeah, leave it to Rebbe Eliezer. If you're telling me this is Rebbe Yehuda's approach, since he's not mavdil between aniva and kshira, I'll leave it to Rebbe Eliezer, who holds that machshir and mitzvah are doicheh and Shabbos, because if you don't hold machshir and mitzvah doicheh and Shabbos, then you can't do it at all. But then the problem is, if you hold like Rebbe Eliezer, so then why does it say in our Mishnah only if the string tore on Shabbos? So we got a problem. Okay, so fine. So let's go back on that shot too. Okay, because once we already have to introduce now another sheet about Machshir and Mitzvah, we could say like this: Ela Lokash, Har Rebbe Shimon, Har Rabbanan. L'maisa, the Rabbanan are saying in our Mishnah that you can be kosher because they hold that Machshirei Mitzvah are dochen b'shiyev shalasos b'arev Shabbos. So therefore, in that case, you can go ahead, if it tore, you can actually tie a knot. But if it was ef shalasos b'arev Shabbos, so b'tchila, in b'tchila, also. So this is the Rabbanan then who would argue, who would suffer like Rebbe Eliezer b'choda, b'polakalei b'choda. Rebbe Eliezer is Machshir, even Machshirei Mitzvah l'chatchila she'ef shalasos b'arev Shabbos. The Rabbanan hold Machshirei Mitzvah dochen b'arev Shabbos. However, only in a case where you couldn't have done it by Erev Shabbos. Now, the question over here, what about the Braita? That we'll have to say is in fact going according to Rebbe Shimon. And there, in Achinami, you have to do Aniva, and not Shira, because Aniva is actually a way to avoid the Kol Shabbos. And therefore, only then is it Mutter. The Tanya, then we know that there's such a Machlokas, the Tanya ben Levi. So the Tanakhama holds that, as our Mishnah says, you can make a kesher, whereas Rabbi Shimon on their own va. So apparently, according to Rabbi Shimon, the most that you're allowed to do is to make a loop. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, what good is being on va? Where are you going to get either with onva or kushra. Did you ever try playing a string instrument where you tied a torn string? Well, you want to have a guy who's going to be off tune the whole time? The whole point is having a usable musical instrument. What kind of a string is it that's now tied in the middle or looped in the middle? It's ridiculous. So since, anyway, kshira is an av malacha, and if you're going to be kosher, you're going to be mechala Shabbos, doesn't it make more sense to be mechala Shabbos and do it right once you're doing it? So therefore, what you do is you release some of your string by turning the fret. You pull down on the string, you pull up on the string, depending on what instrument you're using. So either mishal shel melamata v'karav melamala, or mishal shel melamala v'karav melamata. But the bottom line is you got to do it right. And now, so you go and you make your instrument if necessary. V'vayseva hava rabona. So okay, so that's one possibility. Or we could say actually makshirin that you can't do is dorcha shabbos makshirin that you can do is not dorcha. How do we explain why it says sometimes kosher and sometimes onayv? Oh, it depends where the ter was. Actually, it depends on the ter. So in the Mishnah, which is Koshra, is talking about where the string was torn in the middle, in which case an aniva is not going to do it for you. And therefore, you have to be Koshra. But since they hold that only something that is absolutely necessary is Dorcha Shabbos, so if it's not in the middle, you can go ahead and you can be onev, but you can't be kosher, because you can get away with aniva if it's not in the middle of the string. Maybe that's the shot. Or, you know what? Ivaitema hava hava emtza. Indeed, we could say it's talking about the machlokes of Rabbi Shimon Rabbana. It's talking about that it's the middle, the brisa that says you can't be kosher. They hold of Rabbi Shimon, and therefore only where it's not possible to do it before. Since over here, where it couldn't have been done before, we only have a gzeira. What's our gzeira? So aser, making a kshira, because if we allow you to make a kshira b'emtza, maybe you'll have to make a kshira menatzad. If you made a kshira menatzad, it would have been mamash b'el Shabbos. So in a case where there's no basis for gzeira, there he wouldn't have been machmir. But here, where there is a basis for gzeira, because in each case you'll have to determine whether a kesher is good enough or not, aniva is good enough, he said better only be onei than not be kosher. If you can't use it, you can't use it. So marsov gazrina, or marsov lo gazrina, because over here it's not mamish the aveda, it's only makshir mitzvah. Oh, that's kazorian. Negra, nigra, nolam ba b'migdash avalo b'medina v'amunachkan v'kan asur, Rabbi Yehuda omer, hamunach mutar b'migdash v'nigra b'medina, ten rabona. Ezeo negra nigra shenolam b'migdash avalo b'medina, kol shekashur v'taluy v'ro she'echad magdiya lo'aretz, Rabbi Yehuda omer, ze af b'medina mutar. Ezeo negra shenolam b'migdash avalo b'medina, kol shenol lo kashur v'lo taluy, v'shomtu minichot b'keren saviv. Omer Rabbi Yehuda omer, shemal aloha k'rabbi Yehuda b'nigra, omer rabba v'hu shekashur b'tel. Not on the threshold. Any for the tablik with the chutz of a chutz of a hudavi tell the people the dash of Amar Vlom Bidin. Ahuni tell me good to have it. Revavi iklan narda. Chazi will gavad have it to cut the begomi. Oma ah, bain al nitro, it's useless. Boy Rabbi Zer, nikmaz mau. Om Rabbi Yossi bati boilin. Moshi moilin. Adetanya, nishmat asur nikmaz mutar. Rabbi Yudom, nikmaz afu kishenu nishmat asur. Nishmat asur. Nishmat asur. Yom Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul Halachak Rabbi Yehuda Benikmas, the time of my, why is he so machmir? He's the one that's always makel. Om Rabbi Mishum Nemechasi Kibon Ed. Boy, me name Rabbi Chumi Bar Zachari Mi Abai. How about a Salo Beit Yadma? Om Alei, what's your question? Buchna Kamu. Itma Om Rabbi Chumi Bar Ada, a Salo Beit Yad Mushtar. Ahu Shavita, the Abibay Rabbi Tadat, that was so heavy. The Abimadu Lo Be'a Sora. And they used to be Shadalei Adash of Lo Amalu V'lo Mirin. On a Torah Kli Aleha, and once it's Torah Kli, it's not Shach to be. Ha'iyah Tzita, the Habi Dei Mashmud, and the Machzeket Adricha, and Shara Marshrolo, the Mishdaya Adasha. On a Torah Kli Aleha, it's no Gzer. Sholach Leironi Barakatzka Lerav Amram, Neymalan Ma'am Ahanamin and Ayasad Amrak Mishvan Duvasi, Bekipi Di Arba, Sholach Leironi Amravasi, and Bekipi Di Arba, Bizman Shesh Ben Tefak, Inami Ein Ben Tefak, but Ein Ben Zela Zesh Losha, Lamach, or maybe Machatzela to Paris Aleichem. My Taima, Mosi Falo Arayu Vishapidam. Hanu Dikrid, Avila, the Ravunid Roma Botula, Ubalaila Bo Avira. Also, the Kamid Rav Amalei, I tell you what you do for Shabbos. Zil Krov Bud, Yevashayim Batefa, L'macher pashto, moisav al arayu v'shapetam. Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiyam Vilon mutala natato mutala parkol b'shabes. Kilat chatanim mutala parkol latos b'shabes, but Amar Shesh Bregevini, that's dafka shein begaga tefach, v'yesh begaga tefach asur. And when we say ein begaga tefach, what we mean is lo'ano shein bepochot mishlosha somuch begaga tefach. That's considered to be tough and it's awesome. Furthermore, you're trying to tell me that Sharvit Begline Tefah is also on Shabbos with your talis? לא קשה, אתה מהדה, גודו לא מהדה. מגזירים ציר התחתון במקדש, אבל לא במדינה. העליון כאן וכאן עשו, לגיד אומר, העליון במקדש והתחתון במדינה. תון רבון הציר, דלת שיטתי במגדל, במקדש מגזירים, במדינה דוחקים. העליון כאן וכאן לא יגזיר, גזיר השם יתקע. ואם תקע, using pliers, and so on, חייב חד. של בור, של דוד ושל יציאה לא יגזיר, ואם יגזיר, חייב חד. מחזיר רטייה במקדש אבל לא מבינים וכאן וכאן עושה תנור אבונן רטייה שפרשה מהגבי מכה מחזיר אותה בשבת וביירו אומר הוחלקה at most הוחלקה למטה דוקה למעלה למעלה דוקה למטה מגלה מקצת רטייה מקנח במכה חוזר מגלה מקצת רטייה מקנח במכה ברציה עצמה definitely לא יקנח בשם המעריה ומירח חייב קטעת אמר רביונה משמוע הלוקה קרביונה אומר פיצה לא שונה אלא שפרשה אגבי כלי, אבל פרשה אגבי קרקע, דברי הכל אסור. אומר מר ברבה שעבקים לתמידי אבא, נוף לא יבסדיה וכמה הדי לי. אמין עלי לא סור, ולמר לא אומר פיצה מחלוק שפרשה אגבי כלי, אבל פרשה אגבי קרקע אסור, ואומר שהוא לא קרב יהודה, which means even אגבי סדיה זה אסור. אומר לי לא שמיע לי, כלומר לא סביר לי. וכושריתי בא במקדש אבל לא במדינה, אם בתחילה כאן וכאן עשו מרמינו נימד כינור שליפסק אלוהי הכושרה אלא עונבה לא קשה רבנו רבי ליעזר לא רבי ליעזר המחשיר מצווה דור כנס השבון סודן אינו כינה מכושרה רבנו גם אין דורכים עונבה רבי ליעזר אפילו אחד כאילו נעמי אלא קשה רבי יהודה רבנו רבי יהודה ליבד המען היא הליבד רבי ליעזר אפילו אפילו נעמי אלא לא קשה או רבי שמעון רבנו ותניה בן לוי, שנפסקה לו נימה בכינור, כושרה רבי שמעון עונבה. רבי שמעון הלצר אומר, אף היא אינה משמעת את הכל, אלא משלשר מלמטה לגמנש, וקרח מלמעלה, משלשר מלמעלה וקרח מלמטה. ויבויסנו אהבה רבנן, ולא קשה, כאן באמצע, כאן מן הצד. ויבויתמה, אק שקרים לי אהבה באמצע. מרסה וגזרינן, דעניבה, because otherwise you may come to be cursed in the wrong place, ומה שבר לא גזרינם